Father God, I want to thank you. I thank you for Carrie and Cheryl. I thank you for Buck and Danny and Julie and Shelley and Jerry and Al and Jan. And oh, there's Cheryl again. I get to get to her twice. I just thank you for brothers and sisters who have walked the walk with you for such a long time. And I love the simplicity and warmth of their love and their spirit and the way they share, Lord. I thank you for the life that they give. And I ask that your Holy Spirit will lead us this morning as we take our time in the written word and in the living word, the Logos and the Rhema. Breathe upon our time, Father, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to read two very frequent scriptures.
Can you hear all right?
Yeah.
Oh, you all right?
I just checked over there. She could hear.
Everybody hearing all right then? I just want to read two very familiar scriptures and then go from them to something else that I feel is very, very meaningful for our day. The first one is probably the most familiar Psalm in the Old Testament, 23. And I want to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake.
Yes.
I love that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflowed. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such a familiar psalm. And I recall the week after I had been born again and had to go on my little three-church circuit, and the Lord said, I don't want you writing sermons anymore. I'm going to teach you what to share. And I was petrified. I thought, I'm going to stand up in front of these people and I'm going to be an idiot. That first morning, I recall coming to the last of the three churches. I've talked about the other ones. I read that, and all of a sudden, God said, now I'm going to tell you what some of this means. And I didn't realize my need for a shepherd and the sheep. And all through the scripture, we read about the shepherd and the sheep. And everything that the sheep need, whether they're aware of it or not, many times they're not even aware of what they need, the shepherd provides it, the protection, their food, their direction, everything is the shepherd. The other text I want to read is another one that I referred to so many times in the New Testament about the shepherd and the sheep, and it's John 10. I just want to read a little bit, and then I have another direction I felt that God wanted me to go today. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. That's going to come back in just a moment. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And the stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Just a couple of comments. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It's the doorkeeper. He puts forth that he goes before them. It's not like a... he doesn't drive them from behind. He steps out in front and leads them. And in verse 6, it says, this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't understand what those things were, which he'd been saying to them. Jesus, therefore, said to them again. Now he's going to explain what he's just said before. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the... Isn't that interesting? I remember first reading this thing, well, the door must be the Holy Spirit. You knock on that, no, he's the door. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he talks about hirelings and etc. Now, I was reading that and I said, well, we've been over this so very many times, Lord. And yet I felt you're leading me to it this morning. I was at why? And immediately these verses from Matthew 24 came to mind. And I'd like to read them to you. And then I'd like to discuss them. Matthew 24 was talking about the signs of Christ's return. In verse 4, it says, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And it talks about the birth pangs. And then in verse 10, and at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. I think it was the last week we were talking about this, and Al reminded us in the Sermon on the Mount what Jesus had said about another voice. It said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And I got thinking more and more about this, and then my own life as a Christian. When I became a believer, I realized that as a sheep, I can be led astray. And I have to learn by faith that the Father hears my voice when I call out. But then I've got to learn to hear his voice, because there are so many voices out there.
Yes.
Now, I'm assuming something that every one of you has experienced what I'm talking about right now, that you have experienced voices that come close but are not the voice of the shepherd.
That's right.
I followed false theology. I got myself involved in a cult. I misunderstood the use of money. I misunderstood how to build relationships, how to view brothers and sisters in Christ, because I realized that learning the voice of my shepherd is a process. It's a process. And I had to realize that part of the learning cycle, I believe, for every single one of us, is missing the voice, obeying the wrong voice, and having to come back and say, Father, I thought that was you, and it wasn't. Confession and repentance. How many of you have ever thought of missing the voice as also part of God's program to teach you to hear his voice? Did any of you from the beginning you were born again just always get the voice of God? I didn't. And I made many errors. I followed some people who, in their point of view, were very sincere and honest.
Yeah.
But they were sincerely wrong.
Yes, sir.
I've told you the story of a doctor friend I had in Evanston, Illinois, who did a lot of counseling. I don't know what they call that, but this nurse had been come on duty one night, and there was a patient in a lot of pain, and the doctor had written in red ink, do not give any kind of painkillers. It will lead to whatever. But this guy was yelling out all night until finally she couldn't stand anymore. She said, well, I'll just give him a little. And she gave him a little, whatever it was. I'm cutting the story way down. And the guy went into convulsions and died. When she was before the nurses and the doctors of the hospital, she said, I sincerely wanted to help. And they said, we don't doubt that, but you were sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
The patient died. And there's a lot of sincerity in new believers that we have to be careful of. I remember it in myself. I was sincere in the way that I first heard about tithing and giving. I've mentioned it before. I know this sounds crude and childish, that God was kind of like a godly slot machine. Mm-hmm. And I would put a dollar in, by faith, pull the handle, and God would spit back 5, 10, 15, or 20. Well, that's not right, in case any of you are still there. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. You know,
money is a servant. Money's not the problem. It's your heart.
Yes.
It's always the heart. Well, there are many things that I have had to learn to hear my master's voice. And I find that as we grow, this is part of the growing process. Because in the last days, as I read, here's what's going to happen. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. That's kind of spooky to me.
Yes.
I often hope, well, don't we all come to the place where we're beyond being seduced by lies? I have a feeling that even as this time approaches, the enemy, even back in the garden, evidently Adam and Eve didn't recognize in Satan's voice what he said to them. Yeah. He's a great impersonator.
Yes. So are we.
I have often watched some of the comedians on television that imitate stars through the, you know, all that.
Yes.
And I've often thought, if we can do that in the natural, how much better does the enemy know the voice of God and how to impersonate it?
Right.
Well, the only way that we grow is learning. And I believe this is another godly reason. As I look around these pictures for brothers and sisters, I've had brothers and sisters come to me and I've said, you know, blah, 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 this is what I'm seeing. They look at me and they say, Tom, I don't know what it is, but something doesn't add up here. And then I have to get over my feelings being hurt and realize that they love me. I've been in a situation where I've said that to other people. It's not that I'm against you, but when you said that, something inside said, wait a minute, have any of you been in similar situations? Well, I believe that's the process that God wants to bring every sheep of his flock through until we finally hear his voice. I think it's the picture of the lost sheep when he puts him on his shoulders and brings him back. He wanders off. I know that I was told by a shepherd once that one of the problems with sheep and young ones is that they'll find a place of real good grass and they'll literally eat their way away from the flock. And they'll turn around, the flock's gone. The most important thing for a young sheep is to stay close to the shepherd. So in these last days, many false prophets will arise and mislead. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. There's a connection between the false prophets who will arise and lead many, many astray. I hear them in this day and time. I am so grateful when I hear a simple word from a brother or a sister that's clear and humble and full of the love of God. One of the problems that some of you may recall in church history is, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, shortly after we received the Bible in about, 400, 500 with Constantine, there came out a teaching which said we no longer needed the charisma, because we now had the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that became a theology all through church history. It wasn't until some of the renewals that came out of shortly before and after Luther and Zwingli, and then here in America, out in California, and the Pentecostal renewal, that people believed these things could even happen again. I had a dear brother down in just south of here in south of Tulsa tell me, oh, I love the Holy Spirit, but don't allow any of those gifts to come into the church. It's just too much of a mess. And I said, well, can't you learn how to use them? He said, how do you learn? And I said, you use them and you make mistakes.
Thanks.
But he said, do you realize what would happen if somebody came in and gave, quote, a message in tongues, and I'm the pastor, and I got to sit there and say, brother, this does not compute. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, I do. I've had to do it. Some of you that I see here were in our fellowship out on 21st Street. And I had a pastor's wife, happened to be a Methodist pastor, a guy well known. And his wife stood up and gave a, quote, prophetic word. And I had told people beforehand, would you come and fellowship with us for 6 months to a year so we get to know you? And then if the gifts are going to be manifested, we've got a relationship we can deal with. And she had come a couple of times, and someone had given a, quote, message in tongues. And it was a tongue of praise and worship. It wasn't so much a message, but it was accepted, and the body accepted it. Well, this woman came, and she gave this message, and all I can tell you is something went up and down my belly, said, Tom, you're going to have to say, we're not going to receive this. And I did. I tried to be as kind as I could. I said, I appreciate your courage and trying, but please wait. Let us get to know you, and then we'll be able to appreciate it more. Well, she just said, how could you do such a wicked thing? And got up, she and her husband, and left.
Wow.
Well, I understood this guy now south of Tulsa. He said, every time I've ever been in a situation where, quote, a gift has been manifested, all it has done is cause problems. Well, I understand that, but I can't throw the baby out of the water. I just can't do it. And yet I realize the dangers. Have any of you ever experienced the things I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been the person who has had something inside you that you cannot express in English, and it's a tongue of a man or of angels or of the Holy Spirit? I've been in those situations and not knowing what to do. I am so grateful that there were some men of God 20 and 30 years older than me who'd been through the whole Pentecostal renewal and seen about every kind of false thing you could imagine. And they learned how to hear the voice of God. False prophets will arise and will mislead many. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I was reading this morning and studying and preparing for today, and I felt the Lord say it's so important in these last days, especially, we've got to hear the voice of God. We've got to be sheep who are growing into lambs and rams and mature in the flock of God, or we're going to be led astray. He says it this, 1 Peter 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to him as to a living stone rejected by man, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now there's more in that. But when he talks about being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, he's talking about the grace of God and the ministry that the Holy Spirit brings to us. One of the things that maybe some of you have felt, excuse me, I have to blow my nose,
hawk,
with Barbara and I, and all of you have experienced some difficulties, some pain. Some of you are still in it. Some have come through it. Some will go through. Some will not. Each situation is so personal. That I just between Barbara and I, why is it that what I've been praying, you know, for about 6 weeks, God has brought healing, and I've prayed just as hard for Barbara, and she's just not been healed. And I say, well, then I try to figure God out. Do you know?
Well, that's a fruitless task right there.
How many of you have figured God out?
Oh, my.
But one thing I have known is that she hears.
Yes.
I wish there were a way to put emphasis around that, because she can be in pain. Sometimes she's just sad because I can't move my blasted feet. I can't move my hands to turn the pages on a book. I can't hardly speak loud enough for you to hear me. Just a lamp away. But she's not giving up. I'm so proud of her. Well, why doesn't God answer the way that he's answered me these last years? I don't have an answer. But I do know that God is just as faithful to her as he is to me. And the voice of the shepherd to her is speaking something different than he's speaking to me, though it's the same voice. Mm-hmm. I don't know another way to say this. It says in 2 Peter, the second chapter, turn over there with me, please. I will come back. Oh, there, I went past 2 Peter 2. Therefore, one, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. That if ought to be capitalized and circled. And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious to the sight of God, you also as living stone are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I think the growth principle, at least in my own life, has been something that I could, I reflect back on it. And I am so grateful for the brothers and sisters who maybe were only 6 months ahead of me in growth, but would be honest with me and say, Tom, I don't think that's a good direction for you to go. I can recall when I was going to so many home groups in the city, and then on the weekend, I'd be in all different states. And I would assume whenever I got an invitation, that that invitation came from God. And I just assumed it. Well, I've learned you don't assume. Because I would find myself in meetings, and I would sit and I say, what in God's good name am I doing here?
Doing here. Yeah.
This just isn't where God wants me. And all of those little situations where we're trying to hear the voice of God, and I want to emphasize that I was trying to find other words, and if you can think of some, help me. I believe our mistakes are just as important, if not more important, if we'll not be so self-centered that we can't take them. Mm-hmm. To be able to say, thank you, Lord, that was wrong. I missed it. I think of it in the Old Testament, the times that they had to go around the mountain again. Going around the mountain was to teach them that that it's a learning, humbling process to hear the voice of God. And as sheep, you know, it's amazing. In our church school early, we used to talk about how children hear the voice of their parents. And one day we had about five of the mothers line up with their backs to about 8 or 10 children with their backs to them. And we asked the children, when your mother speaks, would you raise your hand? And it was amazing. When the women would speak, the kids' hands would go up, and then we'd reverse it and say, now, mothers, when your child speaks, maybe 5 or 6, would you raise your hand? And most of the time, there were times that were wrong, of course, but the majority of the time, mothers heard their children and children heard their mother.
Yeah.
And we tried to say that that's a way that God wants us to learn. And if I can be in a fellowship where I can come into like right now and say, you know, I'm really feeling anointed it's not the voice of an angel, it's the voice of God. And he wants me to give a message in tongues. And everybody doesn't say, well, I'm shutting off. I'm out of here. I understand. Because we've done just what they did in church history, which was to say that the Bible replaced that. No, the Bible does not replace it. That's why I go back to again and again. Repeat it with me. John 5:39-40. You search the scriptures, for in them you hope to find eternal life. But it is they that bear witness of me, and you refuse to
come to me,
that you might
have life.
The problem isn't the Bible. The problem is our heart wants something we can control. And let me tell you, when we get filled with the Spirit, you will never control this book.
Yeah.
It will become a servant of the Holy Spirit to teach you, to grow you up. And you will say, oh, thank God, there's a picture of John Wesley holding the Bible like this. And I could do that. I just love to read it. Sometimes last week, Barb and I read the whole life of Abraham out loud. It's about 11 chapters out loud. And I just got so excited chapter after chapter. And think of all the guy went through. And of course, Sarai and then Sarah and all of that. So these things are extremely problem. The hearing problem, I wrote myself another note. But I just good for me. The Bible is not to replace the Spirit of God in you or from God. They will coalesce in a beautiful way. I've seen so many times when I have chosen, which I think is an appropriate word. In fact, here's today. I've been praying, Father, what do you want me to share today? And I felt this is what God wants me to talk about. Now, I can be right or wrong. If I'm wrong, then I'll have to say, people, I'm sorry I wasted your time. But if this is something from the Spirit of God, then you'll be able to say, no, Tom, I think it was good that we went through this. Yes. I'm not asking for my ego to be puffed up. Yes. I just want to be faithful to the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen. Well, Tom?
Okay. Yes, go
ahead. When you were talking earlier, the thought occurred to me that even though Joshua and Caleb got to go into the promised land, they still had to have 40 years in the desert.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So they learned a lot in preparation for what was to come in their future.
That's absolutely right. Well, even that, think of Moses.
Yes.
I mean, he's 40 years in the desert.
Yeah.
So anyway, could any of you just relate what I'm talking about? How is it related to you? Does it relate to you? Is it helpful? Especially when I read this thing from Matthew 24. You could also read it in Acts, of course. But in Matthew, he says it so beautifully. In the last days, one more page over. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Who are the misled? I think they're the ones that have never learned or paid the price or by faith asked God to teach them how to hear the shepherd. I found that discipline. I loved football and baseball, but I can remember a coach in baseball took an inside curveball, always scared me to death. And I'd step into what they called the bucket. And I'd step around. And he'd say, son, they'll strike you out every time on an inside curve. You're going to have to learn to keep your foot in the... Well, what if the ball hits me? The point was, he was a good coach. He was a good coach. And it took, I guess I would use the word faith, because faith's something you do. He had a guy whose name happened to also be Tom, who threw a beautiful curveball just in high school. And he had that guy throw about 20 curveballs at me until I finally said, I can do this. I can stand. And it got so that I could occasionally hit the curveball that I'd been so frightened. I don't think that's not an example of the way we hear God. Making a mistake is not a loss. Mistakes are part of life. And I can remember, some of you may remember, one Sunday morning on 21st Street, I got up and said, I feel that there's going to be an earthquake this week in Tulsa. I said, I hold it before you. Week came and went, no earthquake. And I was very specific that it was going to be within 7 days. And I tell you, I was shaking doing it. Well, I was wrong. And I can remember having to stand up the next Sunday and say, will you forgive me for that false prophetic word? And they were very gracious to me. But then one guy got up and he said, you know, it's strange. Maybe it's going to be at another time. And I said, no, I can't get out of it. In other words, he was trying to be nice and say, well, maybe there will be, but it'll be in another week. And I said, I appreciate that. But the word I had, which was not true, was it would be within 7 days, not eight. Not 14. Well, I hoped that experience with my fellowship there, Let them realize it's all right to be wrong, to miss it, as long as our desire is to hear the voice of God as a fellowship.
That's really good, Tom.
Have any of you had any similar experiences?
My problem is to silence my own voice so I can hear the voice of God.
That's exactly right. And not only is it the voice of false prophets, others outside of us, it is that voice that we've listened to, Carrie, all our lives. Mm-hmm. From little children, that's the voice we heard. Oh, voice of God.
Yes.
The voice. Therefore, I've told you in advance, false Christ, false prophets will arrive and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Matthew 24, 23. And then if anyone says to you, behold, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. I believe that there's some of those voices out there. And my problem is not to just dismiss people. I want to cut them the same slack I want cut for myself. This is what I'm hearing from God, and I hope it's a blessing to you. If it's not, tell me. Let me learn from it. What I've realized, that one of the great gifts of the Spirit, the real loving Spirit of God, is teachable. Are you teachable? Or are you just protective of your own whatever? It goes on to say, behold, I've told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, who? The false prophets who do signs and wonders to mislead, if even the elect. Behold, he's in the wilderness. Go forth, or behold, he's in the inner rooms. Don't believe him. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse, they're the vulture. Who are the, what do vultures?
Dead things. Dead things. Carrion.
But immediately after the tribulation of those days. So anyway, I think it's so important for us to have fellowship that is genuine and real and humble. I look across this page and your faces, and I know that, I don't know your whole story by any means, but I know some of it. And I've known that God has humbled you, but I know God has blessed you. I know some of you have come through things that I'm grateful I haven't had to go through, but I know he's as faithful to me as he's been to you. And he will continue to be faithful. He will send forth his angels. And it's right after that, in that 24th chapter about his return, or before, excuse me, he says, lawlessness is increased, and most people's love will grow cold. Love will grow cold. Why? Because the only way that we get the love of God is through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus. And if we're listening to false prophets, they're going to lead us away from that to their gift. That's why I read that thing about great signs and wonders so as to mislead. Let me tell you, it's difficult when you see a sign and a wonder not to immediately attribute it. This must be God.
Yeah.
Everything has got to be held before him, or else we'll be led around by signs and wonders. I can recall about 20 years ago, some of you may remember on television, a brother who you'd know if I mentioned him. He'd say, this is a ministry of signs and wonder. Well, yes, but for him, it all was signs and wonders that somehow lifted him up, not Jesus. Not Jesus. I love signs and wonders. Glory to God. I've seen them and experienced them. But I want to know the ones that are from the Spirit of God and of the kingdom of God and for his body of Christ. I want to be able to hear. And that's why I think small groups, 6, 8, 10 people, meeting together regularly, talking to one another, sharing their experiences and insights, and not being so sensitive they can't have a brother say, you know, that doesn't sound so good, Tom. At least examine it. That doesn't mean he's right or wrong. You may be right. You may have heard the voice of God. Don't be afraid to have it examined. It's okay. I want to know that what I'm hearing and saying and doing comes from the Spirit of God. I'm going to end today by just telling you that's exactly what I feel about today. I felt that God gave me this morning these things about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. John 10, again, so many things, especially in the last days. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit is breathing upon. But what if I'm being seduced? Maybe it's.
I think that's a real good question, Tom. I think you said holding it up for examination. Don't be afraid for it to be examined.
Yes.
Everybody here has the potential to examine what we're talking about. I frequently spout off things that are not correct, and Cheryl will hold it up in front of me for examination.
God bless you, Cheryl.
And, I am right there with you, Tom, because I feel that if I got off track, there is not a person here in this meeting that I couldn't go to and say, what do you think? This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? And I would be honored to hear what you have to say. I may not like it at the time. I may fight back, push back. But I think we eventually come around because don't we? Does that make sense to you guys?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
it's hard with your spouse, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You gotta watch them spouses.
Yes, yes. Those spices. The spicy spouses.
Yeah, I'm noticing over here with Al. Chandler's left. She's just. Yeah. But you're right.
But Tom,
he says, I'm just thinking of this one. In 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about the gifts, he says in 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one, then he begins to teach us varieties of gifts, varieties. And he said that it's got to be practiced. It's got to be worked out.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Just recently, as a matter of fact, today, I got a deal from, I can't think of his name now, but anyway, Dutch Sheets he sends out this Give Him 15 thing every day.
Yes, I've heard.
And one of the things, he was talking about a dream that someone had, and he was relating it, but one of the things he was relating was, in this dream, they came to this tavern with a bunch of people in it. They were supposed to be used. These people were supposed to be used in this upcoming great move of God. And yet they were all defeated sitting there in this tavern with empty cups. And bottom line of what he was sharing was that these were all people that were in ministry, had failed miserably, had been shamed or whatever, and were sitting there without anything. Mm-hmm. And what the primary word that he was giving was that God is a God of redemption. And he was saying that I'm going to fill your cup back up, and I want you to step back into the stream and let's get going here. That you have failed. Yes, you failed, but I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to fill your cup again with the Spirit of God. And then you can go on and step back in to the stream.
I love that book.
Even though we screw up, and I probably above all have been, I think sometimes I could screw up a miracle, but I know that God is a God of redemption. And even though we screw up, he can redeem it if we'll just stay with him.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking that in the Revelation, the chapter 2, where he talks to the seven churches, he talks to the church at Ephesus. And he says, I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance. You cannot endure evil men. You put to test those who call themselves apostles and are not. You found them to be false. And you have perseverance and endured for my name's sake. But I have this against you.
It is.
That you've left your first love.
Yes.
Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you. And will remove your lampstand out of its place and repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds.
Now that
isn't that something to say to an Ephesian church? You've had a lot of wonderful things, but you've lost the essence. The love is gone.
That church was the only church where Paul spent a full 3 years.
Yeah.
More time than any other church. And yet he had to, they almost lost it all.
Anything else anybody would like to share? I just want to thank you for being who you are. God bless you.
Well, Tom, we were talking a little before you got here about some people who have blessed us by talking straight to us, by being honest. And one of those people is Helen. And I hope I'm not talking behind her back, but she can correct you to your face in a way that is not threatening, that is, that builds you up. And even though you're way wrong. And that reminds me of another beautiful woman we knew, Mildred, was like that. And we have really been blessed to know some really remarkable brothers and sisters in Christ who can speak honestly and know the Lord and help us in our walk with the Lord. And it's what you said earlier about fellowship. It is so important. I think it's so hard to have fellowship in a pandemic that this is a blessing that you come and talk to us every week. And on the weeks that you haven't been here, that Al's been able to step in.
Yes.
So I'm very, very grateful to you for being showing me who the shepherd is, pointing in the direction of the shepherd and saying,
yes,
over there.
Over there.
There's your shepherd. You know. Amen. And that's yeah. that's
well, may we all hear the shepherd's voice and blessedly follow him.
S-O-N-G.
P-S-A-L.
And has a song she wants to share.
Just a song.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Psalm
146:14.
146:14.
Got you. Go ahead.
I can't get my Bible.
She can't reach her Bible. Just go ahead.
I'll find it and read it. 146:14.
There is no 14.
There's not a 14. There's only 10.
You think 145, maybe? Yes. Lord upholds all who fall.
I thought she said 146.
Yes, but there's no 14 on 46. Is it maybe 145?
Okay, I'm on.
147. Shelly, could you read us Psalm 145:14?
14, yes. Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Amen. You see, that is humble. You know, when you're humble to receive, even after your mistakes and your failures, then he will lift you up.
Is that it?
That's not the one.
But
that's it's good. Oh, I'm sorry, Danny.
Having fallen a few times lately, that's pretty appropriate.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you, Ann.
We all fall.
That's not the right one.
Okay.
But I can't reach my button.
Let me get it for you.
We have time, so yes. Take your time.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Al, you guys going to breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay. I might sneak in. I want to get over and see Jerry and their new
digs.
New digs, yes.
Their new digs, yeah.
From what we've seen, just from the camera, it looks wonderful. And Buck has been there and said it's really nice, isn't it, Buck?
It really is.
Oh, that's
actually
great.
I was surprised at how large it is. Wow. It's like 1,200 square feet or something. It's very large.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. And, we know Montero is. Go ahead.
There's a scripture I've been trying to remember where it is. I would have despaired unless I could have believed.
Yes.
I would see the goodness of God.
It's God in the land of the living. Yes.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Those are words, aren't they, Tom?
Yes.
Really good words to live by.
You're finding it, Jerry?
I'm not fighting.
Okay. I know how that is.
Oh, she probably hid it from you. You know, women.
I get these fingers that don't feel anything. You know, trying to turn pages is a difficult thing. Cheryl got me some of that stuff you stick your finger in and that helps. But
I'll have to get some of that for Barb.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it really works well, Tom. And
what's it called?
quick sort, isn't it? Sure.
Yeah, I think quick sort or sort quick. It's sort quick. Here we go. Sort quick.
Yeah, hold it up.
Yeah.
And
anybody has to do.
And you stick you rub your fingers on it, and then it helps you turn the pages.
It gives you a little sticky.
It'll stick to
great.
It.
Oh, cool.
They use it in offices and all,
when they count.
They also have rubber fingertips.
Yeah.
That's good, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Jerry, what you got?
I gave her the Bible. I found the page and gave her the Bible. She's looking.
You know, one thing, Medicare will help you with a power chair if you need to get a power chair, Tom, for Barbara. Instead of having her to fight to walk with her ankles hurting the way they are, and using a wheelchair, you need to be pushed, but a power chair, you can control it with a little swizzle stick type thing.
Yeah.
And Medicare will pay for one if the doctor will sign off on that. And a physical therapist, I'm sure, would sign off on that for Barbara. Because that's how
I will follow through on that.
That's how I got my power chair. And it's super nice. Cheryl got a ramp so I can go outside.
Oh, and good.
On the nice days that we're going to have, it would be wonderful for Barbara to be able to get out a little bit.
Sarah takes her out and pushes her around the block and just loves it.
Yeah.
Well, with a power chair. Yeah, a physician and a physical therapist. Isn't that right, Al? I need the prescription, for the power chair. But I've thoroughly enjoyed mine. In fact, I have taken my computer desk away and I sit in the power chair when I'm here at Zoom. And the reason I do is because my PT and OT felt that the chair that I was sitting in, you know, it had wheels. When I got up and pushed against it to get up, it would roll out from under me. And so this is a much better thing. So I would encourage you guys to look into it. It's not a fast process. It takes months. But
anyway. We'll find out. Thank you for that.
And your doorways have to be wide enough to get it.
Yes. Right. Has to get through the door. Yes.
Yes. And
well, Lord bless you all. I guess let's go in our own directions, be faithful and love one another.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.